Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Show on Blog Talk Radio. You are now tuned into the No Romance Without Finance show. If you thought that this was going to be a lovey-dovey weekend and you were in the mood for a Tony Terry song, I'm so sorry to disappoint you. The No Romance Without Finance show is about personal finance, cooperative economics, doing business among ourselves, and solving the problems that we all in this country are going to face in terms of the economic challenges that are ahead of us. We've got so much going on, as Bob Marley would say, so much trouble in the world. We got so much trouble in the world, lots to talk about. There's a whole bunch of things that I want to call your attention to, and then we want to get into our topic of conversation, which is doing it for ourselves. Oh, my goodness, I'm looking at the headlines. I'm paying attention to everything that's going on multiple fronts. I sure do have a lot to share with you. And we're coming off a high week. A lot has gone on this week in terms of good news, in terms of things we can look forward to. So we're going to get into a recap of the Savior's Day address. For those of you who don't know, and I can't imagine how anyone would not know, last month, February, was Black History Month. Celebration in America and various parts of the world of all the wonderful accomplishments that black people have contributed to humanity throughout the ages, and in particular in America, A lot is done to highlight some of the achievements of black people in the United States of America for the last few hundred years. The crowning event of Black History Month to highlight the most significant event in Black History Month for the last 83 years has been a celebration of the birth of the founder of the Nation of Islam. That man that I'm speaking of is Master W. Farad Muhammad. And this past Sunday, not today, but last weekend, there were loads of people who were celebrating his birthday. He is 136 years old. Yes, he is a centenarian, I believe is the correct term for that, for people who live to be over 100 years old. And if it was not for that particular man, there would be no black liberation theology prevalent in America. There would be no black power movement. There would be no call for national unity among black people that has persisted on through the 60s and 70s, 80s, 90s, and even now, today. Much of the gains and the progress and the self-sufficiency that black people have displayed and many of the accomplishments in black America and in America overall were sparked by that particular man. So there is a Black History Month highlight for you in case you didn't already know it. So after that celebration last week, which was called Savior's Day, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who is the representative of the Nation of Islam and of the leader of the Nation of Islam, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, stood before the world and proclaimed a solution to many of the economic problems that are plaguing America, and because of the ripple effect, the rest of the world. As a solution to that, he proposed specifically to black people, Latino people, and people of color throughout America, Muhammad's economic blueprint. A solution to the problems was talked about and proposed decades ago, but because we feel comfortable, because in many instances, different job opportunities opened up. We forgot about the struggle. We forgot about the movement. We forgot about going after rights. And we fell into positions where we could get comfortable, where we can afford to rent or mortgage a house or a car or, you know, any other countless number of ways that we could start racking up debt. We started getting involved in that. Many black businesses shut down after segregation ended and after integration was proposed as the way that black people should go. Industries, black people had transportation industries, banks, hospitals, schools, loads of businesses and industries that we owned, we operated, we controlled for ourselves, and in many instances, these businesses and our stake in these industries was more prevalent and gave us more of an empowered and stronger position in these industries than many of our white counterparts. But because we drank the Kool-Aid and thought that integration and what is the new term that they're using now, diversity and multiculturalism, anything that watered down and lessened the prevalence of black and blackness, we thought that that was a good thing, and we find ourselves today dependent and totally helpless to face and to address the conditions that are before us as we see them now. So, just like in the description of this episode of the No Romance Without Finance show, we see that the government is talking about sequestration. So for those of you who don't know what that is, we're going to get into that and figure out what it all means. The long and short of it is they're talking about furloughing people and government rifts and telling people that, okay, we know that you're full-time and you normally work 5 days a week, but from now on you're going to be working 4 or 3 days a week, and that's all you're going to be getting paid for. Think of how many millions of government employees are hearing that right about now and following in their suit. Soon you're going to find state and city governments doing the same thing. there are already several, I can't remember if it's 29 or more states that are at or close to a condition where they are really going to have to file bankruptcy. That's an interesting position to be in. A whole state government is actually going to have to declare and say that, okay, well, you know, we owe more than we are producing in income or than we're generating in income, so we just need to take a step back and, you know, put a Band-Aid on this thing. That's kind of, that'll stop you in your tracks, but we thought it was far off, we thought it was almost unheard of, but it's a reality now. Millions of government employees have been told either not to report to work on Monday or told that you'll be working less hours than you thought you will, and as a result of that, you'll be earning less money than you thought you will. On another front, we see that His Holiness the Pope of Rome, Pope Benedict the 16th, has resigned his post. He has decided that, for lack of better terms, he no longer wants to be the Pope. And for the first time, I don't know if this is the first time, but if you look very closely, when they're talking about who the next Pope could potentially possibly be, is it just me or am I seeing two black candidates? I think that's interesting. I think it's interesting that when America hit the skids and actually got deep into this recession that President Bush left the country in, the first black president was elected. And it seems like America has been a sinking ship ever since then. So now the Catholic Church is about to, is in a very stressful and interesting position. The man who was at the helm has decided to step away, and the people who are in position to elect may very well put a black man at the head of the organization, the Roman Catholic Church. Could that be a sign of the times? Whenever it looks like all hope is lost and we need a scapegoat, those who can find it very expedient to put a black face and black hand in the position to take the blame and be the fall guy. So that's an interesting thing to look at as well. But fear not, hark, there is a bright light at the end of the tunnel because, as I said earlier, a solution is being offered, and it's my job, in as much as I can do and what I want to ask all the rest of you who are listening to do, to echo what I'm about to share with you today. Minister Louis Farrakhan has proposed that we seriously take into consideration the program and position of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Muhammad's economic blueprint calls for the millions of black people throughout America who've been deceived into thinking that integration and fitting into the greater society at large was in our best interest, actually begin to look at self-sufficiency, independence, and freedom through producing for ourselves and entering into international trade and commerce as a free and independently recognized nation of our own. That may sound far-fetched to some people. It may actually scare some people. But we want to look at the challenges that we're facing. We want to look at what's so scary about that. We want to look at what it is that could stop people from actually getting on board with that. How viable a solution is that? Is it even possible that millions of black people, even a million black people, is it possible that black people and Latino people and Native American people could actually get together and start pooling resources and start putting money in one location for the formation of a bank, an independent national bank treasury that will be used to suffice and supply the needs of all its constituents? Is that even possible? Is that realistic thinking in the year 2013? I think it's worthwhile conversation. We'll have to see. you know where I stand. I'm a follower of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. That's what the Nation of Islam is all about. Freedom, justice, and equality for black people in America and for all people regardless of creed, class, or color. But certainly if nobody else is going to stand up and raise a banner for us, we are certainly within our rights to stand up and raise a banner for ourselves. Freedom, justice, and equality for all people, regardless of creed, class, or color. Who would have a problem with that? Why would that be an issue for anybody? Especially if I'm talking about being of benefit to me and to my own people. Why would my own people have a problem with that? Why would black people have a problem with something that's going to benefit black people? Chinese people all across America have no problem with the existence of Chinatown. They have a place where within the borders, they control the economy, they control business development, they control trade and commerce. It works out for their benefit. Jewish people have no problem in New York City controlling the garment district. They have no problem controlling Crown Heights and various places around the country where you know that there's a heavy Jewish population. They have no problem every year doing the AIPAC convention, making sure that any political figure who is anybody on the scene comes and makes sure that they declare what their allegiance and what their intentions are to benefit and aid the Israeli political agenda or America's support of the Israeli political agenda. Nothing wrong with that. That's called self-sufficiency. They have a right to call a forum and have people come and hear their concerns and speak to their concerns. Why can't black people do that? Why is it wrong, or why is there a problem with black people thinking that we should get together and formulate an agenda and have President Barack Obama and members of Congress, not just the Congressional Black Caucus, but have all types of members of Congress and the Senate and the House come and hear our concerns and weigh in on us and be accountable to what it is that we're looking for from elected officials? Why is that such a far-fetched thing? Shouldn't be. But for some reason, there's something holding us back. And what was put on the table was a moral and spiritual condition that is standing in the way. So hopefully we can identify that moral and spiritual condition and begin to provide some of the solutions to get us on the way. Sister Gidget, you are on the line, and you know that I'm always happy to have you on the No Romance Without Finance show. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling like a brother, bud, and how are you, sir?
Well, alaikum salam. I'm feeling fine. I've been ripping and running at 90 miles a minute for the past week, so the idea of stopping and taking a deep breath is very, very inviting to me at the moment.
I share your sentiments, sir. I understand. Been there, done that one.
Indeed. I'm not trying to drive myself into the ground. I got a long way to go, so I got to work smart as well as work hard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I understand.
So what do you think, Sister Gidget, about all the stuff that we're hearing in the news? You know, the highlight of my conversation over the past couple of days has been the fact that the government is talking about this sequestration idea, and, you know, it was talked up until Friday, but now it seems to be a reality. So what are your thoughts on the whole idea of sequestration?
I don't know what's going on in the news. Now, what happened? Tell me what happened. I'll tell you what I think about it.
All right, no problem. That's conversation. Here we go. For the last, I guess since the fiscal year has started, they have been, the government, the Congress, and the president have been going back and forth over the budget, which hasn't totally been finalized yet. There's still deficit that needs to be accounted for. And if certain date, if by a certain date it wasn't accounted for, then what's called sequestration would have to be enacted. That's when I think it's Congress will force or enact on the government that federal employees, federal agencies will have to slash their budget all across the board, all across the government, because they couldn't come to a an agreement on how to reduce the deficit or address the deficit problem. Now, automatically, all agencies across the government have to operate on a slashed budget. And that means that for many agencies, some of their employees are now being furloughed and RIFed and told that instead of working full-time hours, they are now working 4 or 3 days a week and receiving the pay for 4 and 3 days a week as opposed to full-time hours. So in a nutshell, there you have sequestration.
Oh, okay, that's what that is. Oh, okay. Well, I can tell you, because when you said, I thought you said sequester, like you sequestering somebody for court or something. Okay, okay, sequestration, okay. My whole point, you know, I think it all can relate back to the minister's 52-week series of the time and what must be done. Because in that series, I don't know which broadcast it was, but he talked candidly about the unemployment situation in America and how America does not even have jobs for, quote unquote, its own people, knowing that we are at the bottom of the totem pole, of course, even if we are included in the equation at all. And so it's that time in life, in this cycle of life, where everything that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us is now coming to pass. So, you know, it's not surprising to me that, you know, that this would occur. It's just more miraculous to me that it's occurring now, because it seems like everything that the minister says in his broadcast is not like we have a whole lot of time before it actually comes to pass. And so when you have a government that has failed to govern itself, then of course you're going to have these type of calamities that are political. You know, so we're not just looking at natural calamities and earthquakes and snowstorms and blizzards, but, you know, America's budget, financial structure has been falling for a long time. So it's not surprising to me. It's just unfortunate once again that there are going to be millions of people, hundreds of thousands of people at least, probably living below the poverty line, are becoming unemployed altogether. Who knows what's going to happen at the end of this? So it's further evidence for us to prepare to do something for self before we are forced to do something for self.
Yeah, I think you're pretty right on point there. You know, you took me back and said that it's not so, seeing it happen now, realizing that we don't have a whole lot of time to go before these events come to pass. I must admit, you know, and just like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, I'm not happy about delivering this kind of news or having this type of conversation, because on a sinking ship, there's lots of collateral damage and casualties that are going to be encountered. That's not a pleasant thing at all. But it's interesting. It's kind of reassuring to know that there's a solution on the table. You know, there is hope. There's a way out of this mess. And it's interesting that, you know, people are surprised or, you know, shell-shocked by this type of conversation, but this is not new. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad wrote a book back in 1973, or published a book in 1973 called The Fall of America. And he's been warning and highlighting the signs in the handwriting on the wall for decades, for decades. But since 1973, he pointed out that you can look at the sign of the economy and the fall of the dollar. And I can't remember exactly what the percentage is, but a while back I had a birthday card. Somebody gave me a birthday card. I was born in 1971, and they gave me a birthday card that showed how much you can buy or how much things cost back in 1971. They talked about how a loaf of bread cost 78 cents or 79 cents, something like that. A gallon of gas was something like 63 cents a gallon. You know, there were so many things where you could really buy for a dollar. And if you look and pay attention now, your dollar, it takes maybe $4 sometimes to purchase what you used to be able to purchase back in 1971 for a dollar. And as far as economies go, as far as currencies go, currencies, for anybody who doesn't study economics, currencies actually have a life cycle. They have a lifespan. You know, it's a certain amount of time that dollars will be good. You know, every nation right before it kind of goes the way of the Roman Empire and Greek Empire, their money, what they consider their money, starts to become almost worthless. And you look at things that we used to be able to do for a dollar, for a quarter back in the day, now it takes four or five quarters to do something that it used to cost a dollar to do back in the day 30 years ago. Now it takes $4 or $5 for us to do. That's some pretty clear handwriting on the wall right there.
Well, you know, they say the cost has increased 1,000% from 40, 50 years ago.
You know, I've talked to people I've talked to homeowners who, unfortunately, well, yeah, it is what it is, but they're still holding on to the idea and the belief that their home values are going to come back to what they were before the bubble burst. Now, we know it was a bubble. We know inflation was in full effect. What makes people think that their home values are going to go back to the level when they were falsely inflated? That's unrealistic thinking.
Well, it's called foolish hope, and that's another dependency as we as a people that we have. It's another impeding factor of how we are forced to fantasize about what direction that this world or this government and this country is going in. Because those days that we could call the good old days when, like you say, gas was 63 cents a gallon and you know, you could buy a loaf of bread with a dollar, those days are gone, never to return. And so, you know, I think what people do is that they fill themselves with false hope to keep themselves encouraged and just to buy some time to not look at the reality of the situation. And it's those people with that thinking that are going to be more traumatized than the rest of us who are conscious and aware of what is to come. And so it is so vitally important that we continue to, you know, teach the message that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us about the condition of the country and its financial resources. And the same thing that the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan is reiterating today, so that we can be prepared. We have, you know, so conformed to this economy the way that it used to be, and we have so conformed to this systematic process that we have been living with, but we have not accepted the fact that this system is not working and that there is not a man in Congress that can fix this. But now we have to be dependent on ourselves, and we have to utilize the resources that are at our disposal, and that is our disposal, I mean, and that is our unity. That's our own creativity. That's reverting back to our culture. That's creating businesses and jobs and services for ourselves. That's what we have to revert back to. And a lot of people say, well, how can we revert back to that when we were never that? Well, there was a time that we did have to do that immediately after slavery because we had nothing and no one else. And so we have to revert back to that. It's called survival mode, and that's what we're going to have to really be realistic about, going in that direction, and we have to be less dependent upon this government and on what we consider as jobs now, because just like you said, look at what's happening with our own government that can't really keep their people employed. That is not by accident, you know, that is by design. So let's not, you know, be a foolish people. Let's be wise and realize the signs that if the government can't hold its own house, they surely can't hold yours. So that's all I have to say on that, Brother Vernon.
Come on with your bad self, just forget it. That's what I'm talking about.
Wow.
Well, I tell you what.
But you know what? I know this may be totally off topic, but, you know, I don't look at television. I know that's just bad. I do log on to CNN every now and then, but this is the one thing I want to know, and I really don't mean to take the show off topic, but I just got to know this. What in the world is going on with the Pope? Why is he stepping down? What happened? Anybody know?
You know, I haven't even heard any speculation, and I'm right there with you. I don't have a TV. I don't stay plugged into the matrix like that. You know, I'm happy for the opportunity to log on, check out what I need to check out, find out what's going on, and then disconnect from that and connect myself to something that's actually going to help me see beyond this world. Because I'm telling you all, with all of the people who are in the know and who watch TV and who, you know, stay connected to CNN and whatnot, they don't have any solution, any way out of this. They can tell us what's wrong, but they're not talking about the economic blueprint. They're not talking about, you know, land of our own qualifications. They're not even prepared. Those are the ones who, for the most part, like you said, have that, what did you call it, hopeless, unfounded hope or something like that? I don't remember exactly what you said, but whatever delusion, whatever it is, it's delusional. It ain't in touch
right.
with reality.
It's foolish hope. That's what
foolish
it is. It's foolish hope, you know, because when something is in your face and it's live and it's happening and you're looking at it and you still deny it, because you're thinking about something that happened previously that you don't see, that's not happening, that's not live, that's not in your face. It's called foolish hope.
Mm.
It's just like, that's also like when you're going to the doctor and you're having surgery and you say, man, I wish this was 2 weeks ago when I was fine, but it's not 2 weeks ago, it's today, and now you're going to get cut open, you know.
Mm.
So it's foolish hope, and that's what we have to extract ourselves from.
Mm. Got you. I have a theory about the Pope. I think what I'll do is we'll take our break since we're at the top of the hour. When I come back, remind me to share my theory about the Pope with you, okay?
Well, by the time we come back, I'm gonna be able to tell you what happened. So go ahead. You know,
right,
I'll find out.
Go ahead and do your digging and come back with some facts.
Yes, sir.
All right. 6 day, don't you dare go away. You're listening to the No Romance Without Finance show. We'll be right back on the other side of this break. And a word from my sponsor. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the No Romance Without Finance show. We are into the second segment of the show. It's 8:05 right now, and we're about to jump into our conversation. But first, we want to hear from our sponsor, Freedom Paper Company. For those of you who don't know, your brothers and your sisters, since we just came off of Black History Month, and the whole idea of cooperative economics and buy black and Kuji Chagalia, all that is in the air. We're supposed to be focusing ourselves and our efforts on pooling our resources, on making sure that we circulate dollars in our community for the establishment of an economic base of power for all of us to grow and get stronger on. In the Final Call newspaper, there's a story called Blackonomics. This is two or three issues ago, but that's the topic of discussion, has been for the past few weeks and will be for quite some time to come, and I'm so excited about that. Freedom Paper Company is a manufacturer and distributor of personal paper products, bathroom tissue, paper towels, trash can liners, facial tissue, and things of that nature, things that we all spend money on, things that we all buy and keep in our homes. So no matter whether there's a recession, no matter whether you get laid off, I know you're going to spend money and go somewhere to buy bathroom tissue for your home and for your family. I'm asking you to ask 10 other people to make sure when it's time to buy bathroom tissue, you buy Freedom bathroom tissue. It's black owned, it's all about us, and it supports institutions in our community. So What better type of business should we be supporting? We can't get strong. We can't make sure that we overcome the challenges that face us by financing people who don't love us, don't care about our communities, and will actively, in some cases, work against black people's well-being. So buy black, support black-owned businesses, buy Freedom Bathroom Tissue, visit www.freedompapercompany.com and make sure you put your money where your mouth is. All right. Now, Sister Gidget, I wanted to say, we got Brother Kareem on the line as well. I'm going to bring Brother Kareem in a minute. But I wanted to give my theory on the Pope, and before you come with the hard facts, I wanted to share my theory. All right, I alluded to it in the beginning of the show when I first mentioned it, but whenever it seems like the ship is about to sink, whenever it seems like there's really no more hope, the theme like throughout history is to turn it over to a black man. You notice that when President Bush needed to have, he needed a war, he got who to go before Congress? He got Colin Powell. When it was time for them to, what's the last thing you did? Yeah, Condoleezza Rice do something for him. She came up there and represented in grand fashion, and bam, the country was left in the condition that it was in. When the economic condition of America got to be such that, things were looking kind of bleak, somehow a black guy got elected. So I think that the Roman Catholic Church, or at least I think that the Pope Benedict the 16th, I think that he saw some handwriting on the wall. I think that because of his position, and we all know that according to Catholic tradition, the Pope is the representative of Christ on earth. So he's got to have some kind of insight in there somewhere. I think that he saw something that made him say, all right, I'm about to be out. So... And if you didn't hear me before, when they were kind of looking at who the candidates could be, there was three top candidates and two of them were black. So, let me say, it's just my theory, but I think that he saw something, and it was time to pass that buck before,
Well, that's your theory?
That's my theory. This is just the opinion of Vernon Muhammad. No other entity, no other figure, just my theory.
Well, what is surprising to me that It's been almost 600 years since the Pope has resigned.
How many years?
600. Almost 600. The last Pope resigned in the year 1415. What do you think about that?
All right, so 1415.
To 2013.
All right, so 1415, 600 years ago. When did slavery kick off? When did the slave trade, like, you know, like, officially?
About 450 years ago.
No, that was in America, because there was slavery before 400 years ago.
Well, so you're not talking about 1555?
1555, that would put it, that wouldn't be 600 years. I'm looking for, to all you history buffs, I'm trying to find out what was going on 600 years ago. My theory was, 1555. Let's take 1555. If the Pope, who, as we just stated, is, according to Catholic tradition, Christ's representative on earth, he might have had some kind of insight. He might have seen, all right, y'all about to mess up. Y'all about to start doing some stuff that really ain't cool. And I don't want no parts of that, so I'm about to be out. So shortly after 600 years ago, when that Pope stepped off the scene, don't you know they started enslaving humanity. Now, again, it's just my theory. Just my theory. He might have seen something coming. He ain't want no parts of it.
Well, you know, let me just break it down, because, you know, Brother Vernon, you're trying to be all cordial. And so let me come from the Compton, California perspective on this.
All right, I'll be talking, and you can be hushed. Go ahead.
Let me tell you what's going on with the Pope. When the man of God is on the scene, and you know you're about to catch hell because you cannot defend what you have been representing, a wise man gets out the way. Now, I'm just telling you how it is. Minister Farrakhan launched the year 2013 with devoting 52 weeks of a broadcast to America. In our times in those broadcasts, the minister has been speaking to white people as well as black people. But now, it's funny, the reason why I kept laughing when you say that he is the Christ representative on earth is because we as a people know who the representative is. We know who Christ is. So it's almost like having two women in the kitchen, and you just can't do it. So now we have to look at this spiritual realm on a universal level. He's getting out of the way because the correct Christ is on the scene. And he knows he cannot continue to try and defend what the Catholic Church has been doing. There is no defense against the atrocities that have happened to these young boys in this church. What did God do to Sodom and Gomorrah? But you're sitting up here preaching every Sunday like Sodom and Gomorrah didn't exist and telling the homosexual that God loves you just the way you are and that your behavior is fine. And nobody can judge you, but the judge is on the scene today. That's what's up. So now, if you are the Christ-like being on earth, then you would take your rightful position and you would issue points of correction. But he has not done that. And then he has his cardinal now, I think his name is Cardinal O'Brien now, who is apologizing for the sexual misconduct in the church. Are you serious?
Yeah, I read that. Ooh.
You are now apologizing for the sexual misconduct in the Catholic Church that has been going on for years and years and years and years, and now you're apologizing. Why are you apologizing now? Could it be that God himself is on the scene and you're trying to clean up your mess when in your heart of hearts you know it's too late for you? He's saying that he's stepping down because of advanced age. Well, I'm sorry. Let me come back from Compton again. You knew last year if you lived, you was going to be 85 this year. Don't come with that. Don't come with that. Give people credit to have more intelligence than that. I just find it ironic that it was 600 years ago that the last pope resigned. I also find it ironic that when Minister Farrakhan devotes himself to do the 52-week series of the time of what must be done, that now Christ, the representative of Christ in the Catholic Church, now decides to step aside. I find that ironic, but I'm going to leave that where it's at, and I'm going to let the people think on that. Maybe it's just me, but that's my take on it, Brother Vernon, and I'm going to leave that right there.
No, no, no romance without science. We are strictly business. We get down to the nitty-gritty.
Yeah,
that reminds me of it. I remember, you know, back in the 80s, 86, 83, 84, Michael Jordan was just stepping onto the scene. You know, he was coming up and, you know, showing and proving that he was supremacy on the basketball court. And, of course, you know, everybody used to go out to the basketball court, try to emulate and do what Michael Jordan used to do. So I used to be out there in the basketball court, you know, when I was by myself, you know, making moves and whatnot. But then the big boys would come, you know, they step on the court. When the real big boys come, I got my ball, and I just humbly walked on off to the sideline and let them do what real basketball players were supposed to do.
Exactly.
So it's interesting that you analyzed the situation the way that you did. It just made it so crystal clear that when the real deal shows up, anybody else just needed mosey on the wall.
Right, but know with the surety that just because you step down, that don't mean you get off. Know with the surety that Allah comes to judge, and he's the only one that is qualified to judge, but know that you are also in that line to be judged. So you stepping down does not clean your hands. And that's from me to the Pope. That's from me to the Pope. I won't get nobody else in trouble. From me to the Pope.
That's a direct message from Sister Yidgin. I hope
that's
y'all
right.
heard that.
Yes, because I don't want anybody to say that we are Catholic Church bashing and we are Pope bashing. We are not. We are speaking the truth. And if there's anyone that can prove me wrong, please step up and do so, because I need some correction if I'm wrong.
We know that we are being taught better than bashing and all that type of stuff. If
yes.
We can listen to CNN. If CNN can run stories about it, you can go to NBC.com and any of these other news agencies and hear what they're saying on the subject. All we really are doing is highlighting the subject and engaging in conversation about the subject. So we have very wonderful, beloved supporters of the Nation of Islam and of Minister Farrakhan who are members of the Catholic Church, who are Catholics, and who are striving to do what is right and what is good based on their understanding. So we know that we're not trying to create division and odds between us and them. So, you know, it's just an analysis of what seems to be going on, what seems to be in the news, and calling it to attention, because it's definitely something to look at and watch over the remaining portion of this year. So we thank you for taking us there, Sister Gidget. I just wanted to mention it in terms of part of what we're looking at, part of the confusion that seems to be taking place on all fronts, not just in America. You know, we talk about economics and the need for us to do for self. It's not really just a black thing in America. This is the shot heard around the world. You know, what's going on here is actually playing out. If you look at what's going on in Greece today, the Greek state, the Greek nation is in turmoil because their economic condition was such that the country, the government, could no longer support itself and certainly could no longer take care of its citizens. So you may not hear a whole lot about that on the news, but Greece's in turmoil because of what happened and the way their economy collapsed, the same way that America's economy is collapsing. So that's just one of the different things that are going on in the world in current events that really puts emphasis on the time and what must be done and how serious it is that we here in America need to take a look at what's happening and need to act accordingly. So one of the things that I wanted to focus on in this portion of the show was the call to do for self, the call for, number one, personally, all of us to get ourselves in position so that, number one, we can take care of ourselves and take care of those that we say we love and care about. Then for us in groups to begin to take care of one another, because no man and no woman is an island. If you think that you're going to be able to just face and endure the circumstances and the conditions that are developing throughout America, people losing jobs, you know, people getting desperate, people jacking people up and carjacking people at the gas station. If you think that you don't need somebody to watch your back and you don't need to watch somebody else's back, you're cutting down your chances of survival by thinking you're just going to be the lone ranger. So community and collective working responsibility, cooperative, economic, those things are going to have to be regular parts of our conversation, but they're also going to have to be parts of our way of life from this point forward. And then just beyond just thinking collectively, a community, your own little small group, us black people throughout America, the millions of us that are here in America, need to start looking at how we as a subculture in America are going to survive into the future. As Dr. Claude Anderson, another one who was on the scene and in a position of power, I think he was at some point he was an official or an executive in the Department of Commerce under Jimmy Carter's administration. So he worked in that vein, and now he's on the scene independently working specifically among black people. And as I said on last week's show, as I said on that show, he's been highlighting how, based on the conditions that are forming, if black people in America, if the millions of us in America don't begin to come together in a collective kind of way and make something significant happen for ourselves, we're going to become a part of a permanent underculture, underclass in America. That means whatever political power we thought we could get by marching and sitting in and calling for boycotts and whatever jabber-jawing we do when it comes time to get a little time on the news or have a rally, whatever we thought we can get out of that, not even going to matter anymore because we didn't do what was important and necessary to really get some power behind us. So we are at that very critical point. 2013 is really a turning point year. He's been saying this for the last 5 years that I'm aware of. If we don't do something by 2013, all hope is lost. So,
well, you know what? I just want to share this. I just got a message from Minister Tony Muhammad out of Los Angeles, California. He is the Western Regional Minister.
You done said the wrong thing. You got that man to text you while you was on the air. You done messed up now.
No, he said, he asked the question, he say, is Obama the new, I don't know what they call these people, this is a, he said, the new Pontius Pilate, is Farrakhan the modern day Jesus? Only time will tell. Stay tuned.
Now, Pontius Pilate, in the story of Jesus, when Jesus was on trial, Pontius Pilate was the Roman official who, you know, was in charge in that part of town, who was basically like the judge. You know, the people who wanted Jesus killed, they brought him before Pontius Pilate and said, look, you know, somebody got to be crucified, so we want you to crucify him. And he tried to, you know, he tried to get it off of his hands. He tried to say, well, look, you know, here's a thief, you know, choose this guy. But they were like, no, we want Jesus. So he washed his hands of it. He's the one who washed his hands and said, well, since that's what y'all said y'all want, that's what it is. He washed his hands and let it be what it was going to be.
Yeah.
So interesting question. Interesting question. You know, like, kind of fits in line with my theory. You know, when things seem to be going a certain way, stick a black man in there. Let him be the one to pull the trigger or whatever the case may be. So let us watch and see how things develop.
Yes.
As I was saying before, we got some interesting conversations and some interesting courses of action have been taking place over the last week. I don't know about you, Sister Gidget, but I'm really fired up. I like to see the activity that is now starting to generate throughout our nation and throughout the community of black people in America. More conversations are starting to take place, you know, in the vein of what we've been talking about, community development, having a community of our own, more of us looking to come together without having to be told that, oh, you should look at having more neighbors that are just like you. You know, we're just starting to get the idea now. Oh, you know, we need one another. Let's look at where we possibly would relocate to, become neighbors, and then begin to create effective communities and towns and territories that are viable and self-sustaining that can be beneficial for black people, because we know good and well that whatever the cities and towns that we currently live in and how far spread out we are from one another, that is just not doing it.
Yes, sir. Absolutely it's not, brother. And, you know, we have to be very proactive in what we say we believe in. It is just such a slap in the face to our devoted minister, to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, for us to be so advanced in knowing these teachings. But the application of these teachings have been so slow coming. And so we have long, and when I'm talking about we, I'm talking about me, I'm talking about us. We have so long procrastinated, and we don't have that time. Just like I said earlier, it's all, as soon as the minister begins to speak it, it happens. And that, you know, that's even more clarification for me, that when he says the time and what must be done, he means that thing. It must be done, or we will all perish. So I'm just praying that, you know, whatever services that Nation Building can provide as far as being an informative tool to our people to really get the message out, to reiterate the message over and over and over again before it's too late to even give people a warning. That's my goal in terms of, you know, what we can do as an organization. But personally, it's time to start moving in that direction and actually bringing some of what, all of what we've been taught into fruition.
Awesome. I got Brother Kareem on the line. Brother Kareem Muhammad, welcome to the No Romance Without Finance show, brother. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
I thank you for joining us, brother. I saw you had your hand raised. Did you want to join in the conversation?
Oh, indeed. You know, however, y'all covered everything, so I mean, pretty much ain't nothing for me to say.
this is an ongoing conversation, brother. There's going to be loads more to say than this.
Yes, sir. Well, I did want to weigh in, but as always, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, who came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad. In the name of His Messenger, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and in the name of their reminder, in our midst today, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I want to thank you for allowing me to join in to this conversation. And I'm just going to wade right in. Y'all, you know, you talked about the Pope and everything that's being discussed to me, in my view, where the way I'm seeing it is simply the fulfillment of the Scripture. For example, you know, it was mentioned, yes, the Pope is resigning because of his illness. I guess he said his advanced age. Well, yeah, he's resigned. I mean, and this is on Brother Kareem. He resigned it because he just can't do his thing no more. So he's gonna turn it over to somebody else. That's the way I see that. You know, he just can't participate in them activities no more. So he's gonna resign and move out the way to let somebody else participate in those activities. I mean, what it says in the Bible, it says that what's done and everything that's done in the dark shall come to the light. So, in other words, Allah is putting it out there so that nobody has any excuse to say they didn't know. He's putting it out there. Things are being made known so that we are in the valley of decision. Choose. Choose God or choose the devil. That's the bottom line. And your sister just said, one of the things that it's not a pet peeve, it's just downright what needs to happen. We as followers, we as students of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, or under the leadership of whoever out there saying that they believe in the Messenger of practicing his teaching, we need just that practice, practical application. All of us got the theory. If we were actually practically applying these teachings 100%, as it's given to us in all the lessons, shows like the one we're on now, we would be on entirely different subjects. We would be talking about now how we're going to actually use what we've invested in to move to the next level. You know. I just wanted to, and on that note, I want to share something. Because, you know, I have to refer back to the Christ always because that's my foundation. And it's out of the book, Our Savior Has Arrived, by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, chapter 24. So it's on page 136. The entitlement or the name of the chapter is God Helps Those Who Help Themselves. It is almost unbelievable to see and talk with our people and find in that talk, in this modern rise of advanced education for all, that our very educators and intellectual people desire nothing more than to remain in the free mental shackles of slavery with nothing constructive for themselves and their people. After 400 years, of which 100 of these years, the once slave masters claim they have freed us, there has not been much of an effort on our part to go free indeed. Imagine people out here with BA, BS, MA, MS, and PhD, and we all know what them letters mean. I ain't gonna go there. Degrees still begging the white man to give them a job and to care for them as their fathers did in slavery time. This actually shows that the more highly educated and trained our people are, the more they want to be like white people and be recognized as one of them throughout the government of America. And there's more to it, and hopefully individuals will go and get the book, Our Savior Has Arrived, by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and get into that. And the reason I said that is because that's exactly what I see us having to do. Like I said, the talk is fine, and we're going to continue to talk. I remember as a young child being taught that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that there was going to come a time, and I'm looking at it right now. That's what's going on with these shows and everything that we have on. He said that we were going to get to a point where we were going to have to teach in shifts. We were going to have to teach the people in shifts. And if you look at the situation and all the circumstances that are coming about right now, nothing happens without God's permission. So So you have to ask the question, why is he allowing all this to come about and come about now? That's just to get you said. It's almost as soon as the minister says it, it happens. See, that's why a lot of us got lazy. Because when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was physically with us, then he would say something, and it looked like it was a, as the old folks say, it was a far off. It was a far off. We were, you know, so it ain't happened yet. But now, every time the minister says something, like you say, instantly, it's happening. It's right on us. And it puts me in the mind of, in the Bible, where it says that the children of Israel were so enamored with the wealth of Pharaoh that Moses prayed to the God to break the back of Pharaoh's wealth so that the children of Israel, so that the slaves had nowhere else to look but to God and to his way. And that's what I see happening today. So at this point, I mean, that's what I got to say about this situation. Okay. Salaam alaikum.
All right. Well, alaikum salam. Thank you for weighing in with that, brother. That's, you know, any type of analysis that can be given that would help us to focus on what's going on and see it from the light of understanding that definitely comes from a higher place than what the average person is utilizing is definitely welcome and is really right on time. So we certainly need more of that. And the conversation that we can promote, we can start among our people and hopefully on even larger platforms is right in line with what we're saying and what we're being told to focus on nowadays. In the minister's Savior's Day address on last Sunday, he highlighted a point. First of all, he talked about how what his aim and intention was to paint a vision, because without vision, the people perish. So you got to start with a vision. People got to be able to see what's possible so that we can start motion in that direction. And I'm looking at excerpts from the speech that are in the Final Call newspaper on finalcall.com. And there's a section titled A Nickel a Day. And this has been, you know, over the past couple of days, more and more people have been repeating this. And it's really starting to sink in, even to my brain. Check this out. It says, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad asked people to save just a nickel a day, a quarter a week, for 52 weeks, amounting to $13 a year, kept in a national treasury, the minister explained. With 5 million wage earners at that time, it amounted to $65 million raised in 1 year. In 2013, with 16 million black wage earners contributing the same nickel a day, 7 days a week, would mean over $291 million raised in 1 year, Minister Farrakhan said. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad wrote, the farm is the engine of our national life, and said 100 million acres of land, about the size of California, under cultivation, was needed as a start. The minister said that needed farmland would provide a foundation for economic progress and better health as organic food that is not poisoned by chemicals or genetically modified products is grown. The nearly $300 million could fund these operations and could also be used to fund many struggling historically black colleges and universities across America, freeing institutions to offer curriculum, direction, and staffing that teaches how to be independent as a part of a self-determined community. Now, I thought that was, you know how light bulbs will go off when you hear just the right thing? So many light bulbs went off in my brain as he broke that down. If everybody in America who had, if every black man and woman who has a job in America, according to, I guess, the census, in 2013, that's probably approximately 16 million black wage earners. About 16 million black people in America are wage earners. If we just put a nickel a day for every day of the week, in 1 year, we would be able to raise or amass or collectively pool resources equaling $291 million a year. Then that could be used to purchase land that produces clean, healthy food that can go to every segment of America where there are black people, and then we all could say in our communities we have clean, healthy food free of chemicals and genetically modified organisms in them. That by itself is worthwhile, and it's only a nickel a day. So I'm hoping, my hope is, that all the listeners of this show, all of the people who I'm connected with, I'm going to be deliberately asking people to share this show, to share the webcasts that are done, to tune in whenever we can, because this topic of conversation is what needs to be on Front Street, like nobody's business, like it's the only business we have. We need to be talking about not Real Housewives of Atlanta, not the Oscars, not the, you know, none of that stuff even matters no more. I was listening to Dr. Ridgely Muhammad, and he was talking about how foolish things have gotten. People will pay, stand in line overnight, and pay $200-$300 for the new Michael Jordan sneakers that come out that are made in China, but won't go and pay for Stephon Marbury's, the Starberry shoes that are made in the same factory in China, got the same design and everything. Won't pay $26 for his. Same people in China making the shoe. Michael Jordan's shoes are made in China. That's where everything is manufactured. That's the only place you can get the stuff manufactured cheap like that. Got to be overseas somewhere. But you can get the same design, equal quality, certainly, you know, nice flashy look from Stephon Marbury's brand. And if he's charging $26 or less for a shoe that looks just as good as Michael Jordan's shoes, why are we still paying $200-$300 when we can get just as good quality for far less? We have to start using our money much more wisely, and we have to get these types of conversations and ideas into the minds of our people so we can no longer be stuck on stupid. So I'm hoping and asking and praying that you all who are listening to the No Romance Without Finance show will do your part, spread the word, share these broadcasts, these podcasts and episodes. You know, there's a link to every one of them. If you're listening online, you just like you went to a web page and heard it, share it with other people. It's very pertinent. It's right on time. It's something that definitely needs more people need to be engaged in this type of conversation, because what's being forecast to come is not just going to affect, you know, me, because I'm talking about it. It's not just going to affect black people. This is going to hit white people. It's going to hit the Latinos in this country. It's going to hit every segment of American society. And the door or the solution to the problem is not being offered by Congress. You can tell they can't solve no problem. President Obama is not offering the solution. It doesn't look like any other group is actually talking about what's going to help us, which in turn will help all the other groups except for the Minister Louis Farrakhan, who is offering Muhammad's economic blueprint as a solution. So he said, I listened recently, and he said he had a meeting, got together in Phoenix, Arizona, with some of the nation's top economists, some of the, America's top economists, professors and teachers of economics in universities across the country. Got together in Phoenix for a meeting, and he presented Muhammad's economic blueprint as a viable economic solution. He said they all responded with respect for the program. They all responded and either said it was in favor of it, or if they had something else to contribute to it as a foundation, they definitely pointed to Muhammad's economic program as something that was worth taking a closer look at. So that speaks volumes, and certainly we should try our best to be in line with the time and what must be done. Since that's the solution that's being put on the table, why not take a closer look at it and start more conversations about it? So, with that, we're in our last 15 minutes of the show. I want to make sure we can highlight. Yes, yes, I was just going to ask you if you come in and highlight what else is coming up for the rest of the week.
Well, okay, but before I do that, I got another message from Minister Tony. Minister Tony says, will Obama go and try and deliver Israel, or will he be asked to give up the last man standing, which is Minister Farrakhan? What do you think about that?
I think he raises some good questions. I mean, I'm certainly not a soothsayer, so I don't know what President Obama is going to do. I certainly hope and pray that since he is in the position to make such a phenomenal difference, I really, really hope and pray that our brother, President Barack Obama, will do what is in the best interest of the people who worked and sacrificed so hard to see the day when a black man would be the president of the United States of America. There may be forces of darkness that are surrounding him and, you know, influencing and doing whatever they can to manipulate him to make the decisions and take the stances that he is taking. But my hope and my prayer for the well-being of the brother, the president of the United States, is that he would do the right thing. Sometimes it takes courage, phenomenal courage, to stand on what is right and what is good. And this is that kind of an hour, this is that kind of a time. History points at President Lincoln and says, oh, when the chips were down and when all the opposition and forces were against him, he had to make the tough decision. Well, he made the decision that he made for whatever purposes he made them. Here in 2013, America is faced with dire circumstances, and those dire circumstances are a make-or-break point for black people and people of color in America. Bold leadership, courageous leadership, and radical leadership is what is needed, because the party line and the status quo is not going to get us where we need to get. So the hope that America has is for President Obama and the leaders of this nation to listen to the wisdom that is coming from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because the time dictates the agenda, and he is making it as clear as can be. So that's all I have to say about that.
Okay, and Brother Vernon, in the chat room, you have a listener that would like to get your contact information.
Okay, you can hit me up on Facebook, Vernon Muhammad. I'm there on Facebook. You can also email me at Vernon, V-E-R-N-O-N, at freedompapercompany.com. That's freedompapercompany, all spelled out, .com. You can send me an email directly. Or if you're on Facebook, hit me that way. If you want to hit me on Twitter, I am on Twitter. Occasionally I go on there. I spend more time in social networks on Facebook. But if you look up The High Road, I'm also active on Twitter as The High Road. So I look forward to hearing from you, and I look forward to engaging people in conversation about these topics.
And they wanted to know, Brother Vernon, also, same person says, what did Minister Farrakhan propose, and are you going to start talking about it during this program? And I'm thinking that maybe they're referring to the economic blueprint itself, and I think that was covered when you were talking about, when you mentioned that the minister asked us to save 35 cents a week. But if you wanted more information, I think the Savior's Day message is available at NOI.org.
That's definitely. I would recommend that anybody who really wants to hear and understand the fullness or the totality of the solution that's being proposed by Minister Louis Farrakhan, go and visit www.noi.org, and look for the webcast that plays. Click on the webcast. Well, as a matter of fact, I think there is a link that actually says Savior's Day 2013. If you click on that, you'll get the full address that the keynote speech that Minister Farrakhan did at the Savior's Day Convention, where he outlined in full detail what his plan and position is from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I alluded to it when I read that little section that talked about a nickel a day. It all centers around how much can be accomplished with just a little bit of unity, with all of us or many of us all getting together to do a little bit of work, how properly directed the results of just saving a nickel a day can be utilized to acquire land, to produce goods and services that all of us throughout America use. We can produce for ourselves, and then we can take the additional surplus and use that to generate trade and commerce with nations all around the earth. But it starts with land, land that can be utilized to produce something that we can benefit from and that we can offer to other people to benefit from. The idea of waiting for someone to give us a job, that's not going to cut it anymore. We have to begin to be a more industrious people. America and the citizens in America are going to have to engage in being much more industrious than we have been so that we can do for self and overcome the circumstances that we're facing. So check that out, NOI.org, and see for yourself. Don't tell me that you understand until you hear the man. All right, Sister Gidget, so what we have coming up for the rest of the week?
Oh, for the rest of the week. Okay, I'm sorry. That's Frosty. Frosty, stop it. Stop it. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay, coming up on Tuesday, we have Out on the Front Line with the Food of Islam, and yours truly, myself, along with Sister Dawn Muhammad, Sister Charlene Muhammad, and Sister Aka Muhammad, we will be special guests of Brother Jihad Muhammad out of Atlanta, Georgia, and we're going to be talking about the economic blueprint on his show. And then on Wednesday, DJ Black Caesar and friends will be back with their hip-hop comedy. On Thursday, I will be back with starting a new series on divorce, before, during, and after. And then on Friday, we'll be back with study group. We're going to pick back up on the time of what must be done. So we will be studying parts 7 and 8 this Friday. And on Saturday, we will be back with Young Gifted and Black, with our Nation of Islam hip-hop artists and spoken word artists. And then on Sunday, of course, Brother Vernon, we'll be looking forward to being back here with you on the No Romance with Our Finance show.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. We like it like that. You know, I wanted to hear, I was with you on Friday, and I really felt blessed and privileged to be on the study group show on Friday with Minister James. I wish I could have stayed until the end. We got a few minutes. What was the last hour? What were some of the points that were brought up in the last hour?
Basically, it kind of continued on, you know, us building communities, pooling our resources, getting closer together so that we can have those communities that are conducive for us economically, spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. You know, so that when we are going through these trials, and as our families are going through these trials, that we'll be able to unify and be a motivating force for people who might just get on the bandwagon a little late, because you know that's going to happen as well. But basically, It's really about agriculture, people turning back to that as well, utilizing the land, loving the land again, working the land again, and allowing the land to produce for us after we put the work in, because now we're at a point that we're going to have to live off the land.
All right. We certainly aren't scared of that. That sounds exciting. That sounds like we're on some adventurous, pioneering Little House on the Prairie type stuff.
Yes, sir. And I guess I'll stop going to the nail shop and get ready to just dig in.
Trim them nails down.
Yes, sir.
You know, and you know the beautiful thing about our system, the beautiful thing about just about any system, I tell you, I'm speaking from the bottom of my heart.